You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460 FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rude, and I have in the studio some of the finest firefighters in all of the state of Minnesota, I would say. But Hastings Fire Department Chief and EMS Director John Townsend, Fire Marshal for Hastings Al Storley, and
Captain Chris Paulson.
And I would like to welcome you gentlemen to the studio today.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
The booyah you guys just had recently, and I'd like to start there, talk a little bit about how the day went down and what kind of good things came from that whole event. So we had it on September, it was on the 11th, correct?
That's correct.
Up at the St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Church parking lot. Tell me a little bit about it. How did that go for you guys?
It went very well. It was very busy. We started serving booyah about 10:15. Had a huge crowd to start with. We made 1,200 gallons, went through all that. About 1:30, it got a little slow, but we ended up getting rid of all of it throughout the day. And just a very busy day, and glad to see the public come back.
1,200 gallons. How long does that take to prepare?
We started Thursday setting up the shelter, and then Friday we started cooking about 1 o'clock. We started cooking the chicken bones, our chicken, beef, and the soup bones about 1 o'clock. We started our deboning the chicken at about 6 or 6:30, and then throughout the night they mix everything together, put the vegetables in about 2 o'clock, and then add the tomato paste, tomato ingredients about 5 o'clock in the morning, 5 to 6, and get it all ready to serve at 10 from the outside.
How many different containers did you use to make all that? Was that one big 1,200 gallon container you had to warm up?
No, we have about 14 containers, from 30 gallons up to 100 gallons.
Okay. That must be quite the process to watch.
It is a lot of work, but it's well worth it.
A lot of fun?
It is a lot of fun.
I understand also that with the booyah, there were some other entities there. I believe Animal Ark brought in some animals for adoption or to showcase and things like that. What other kind of events were going on there?
Animal Ark contacted us, asked if we would mind if they came there to show some of their dogs for adoption, and we agreed to have them over there. It was great to see them. There was a huge wedding going on at the same time. One of our firefighters got married.
Nice.
She picked the wrong day. That's the day of the booyah. But we lost a couple people there because of her wedding. So
sure.
It was a huge crowd for them. We had inside, we had meat raffles, we had pull tabs, we had inside sales of booyah, things to drink, and we had a pretty good crowd on the inside from what I saw when I got in there finally.
I think it was an excellent return. You didn't have it last year because of COVID. I remember that you had to call it off. So I was glad to see that it did come back and it came back so strong. I think you guys did an excellent job. And the benefits from the booyah, what's that going to be used for?
The money we raise goes back to the public. We get a lot of requests for donations throughout the year for charity events that are coming up, people that have got cancer or doing fundraisers. We sponsor 2 scholarships through the high school, Captain James A. Match Scholarship and the Hastings Firefighters Relief Association.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes through the high school. We do 2 of them every year. And then just numerous donations throughout the year.
All right. And it's good to have it back, and I'm glad that you guys were able to do it so successfully. But that's just a very minor part of all of the fire department does. I know coming up for October, we have, is it National Fire Prevention Month coming up? How's that going to work?
Yeah, so October is usually recognized as the Fire Prevention Month. October 5th, Tuesday, will be our open house at the fire department.
Okay.
Where we're going to showcase some of our equipment and some fire safety messages and give a chance for the public, particularly the kids, to come in and see things in the station and learn about fire safety. And
are you going to have demonstrations like you have in the past? I think you did an extraction demonstration once. There was a house fire kind of demonstration where you had the scale model of the house.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of that back this year. There might be some limitations again due to COVID concerns and, and staffing. Our plan at this point is we will have a car when we'll do some extrication and show demonstrate how we cut a car apart to get something out of there. I know that's always a crowd favorite.
Yeah.
So the plan is to do that. Hopefully that works out. We will have a chance for the kids to spray some water off the fire trucks.
Nice.
We'll have a stove fire demonstration. We've also got some of our partnering agencies, such as the Dakota County Parks Department. The Rangers will be here with their airboat and their UTV. We'll have the Dakota County Special Operations Team showing some of their skills and some of their equipment. Hastings PD, I believe, will be involved. And so we'll have a lot of different activities, a lot of neat things for the kids to see.
I see that the Dakota County Emergency Response, there's usually a vehicle at the department. You must work very closely with them in training and preparation. Tell me a little bit about the relationship between the two departments.
Between the Special Operations Team?
Yeah.
So one of our full-time firefighters is very heavily involved in that. We call it the SOT, the Special Operations Team. And his title, I believe, is...
He's their chief? Lead commander, chief.
So it's a group made up of personnel from departments all throughout the county, and he's kind of the head of that team.
Sure.
And so that's why you see his truck here frequently, because his regular full-time job is here with our department.
Okay.
And then he does that above and beyond. So we have other members of our department that serve in that team as well. So we're very involved, very connected with it, and they're a great resource for us. Any kind of technical rescue that maybe takes a little more equipment or training than what we're able to train our personnel.
Sure.
They come in and they kind of assist with those.
Are there a good number of calls where you're both the department and the SOT are working together, or is it you basically one is backing up the other?
It kind of depends. You know, essentially SOT is a mutual aid team with all of the agencies in the county, both police, fire, and EMS. And it's because of their specialty resources, you know, it's somewhat hit or miss as to how often they end up responding to a community. Along with technical rescue, they also deal with hazardous materials.
Oh, sure.
They also assist PD with civil unrest. So they have a broader spectrum of specialty resources that the communities, you know, really don't have as much time and resources to train. So we do it as a countywide program to do that. You know, examples of that, you know, in our community, our responses that they've come to us with are hazardous materials. You know, with one of our big target hazards in the community with the Vermilion Falls area, we do have rescues over those falls. We do have training to work on that specific hazard, but we do end up utilizing that resource to come in and help us get through that, both with resources, personnel, equipment, and those types of things. And even along with that resource, some of those SOT resources are part of Minnesota Task Force One, which is the statewide USAR team. So they actually end up sometimes responding. And some of those Dakota County assets were actually up providing resources for the large Greenwood fire and some of the fires going on up north.
Sure.
They do a lot of things for our communities, and we're fortunate enough to have a few members on our department, and we're fortunate enough to have one of our members who's very involved in it, and happy to have that.
Yeah, it would just makes the whole process, I don't want to say easier, because the process is never easy to begin with, but to have such immediate access to that if you need it has got to be very reassuring. Chief Townsend, I want to change the subject a little bit and just get your view on the time that you have spent now as fire and EMS director, how you've seen the department adapt or change or evolve in the period that you've been in that position.
Well, I think it's important to note that, you know, we're always trying to grow and evolve and be an efficient operation. You know, we've done a number of projects through the last year that I think have changed some of our response protocols. We've started utilizing auto aid for structure fires. Example of that is, you know, something as simple as when we do have a confirmed structure fire somewhere in our response area, our communications center, DCC, is now, when we're getting that call, they're paging out resources for us already.
Okay.
So instead of us, you know, getting the information, getting en route, and then requesting, they're getting the page the same time as us. What that's done for us is it's getting those resources to us quicker, and it's had a number of impacts as a result of that, some saves on some house fires and things like that. So some of those response protocols have been a real important step forward. You know, we're still kind of in the stages of building some of those responses and resources. So we're moving forward and working hard.
And I understand, and I apologize if my information is a bit dated, but you're still seeking personnel to join the fire department. I know recently you've had advertisements out for paid on-call firefighters. Are you still looking for those?
You know, we just are finishing up the last stages of the hiring process that you saw the signs for outside the station.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping to onboard a couple firefighters here very soon. And then we're also looking at doing another process moving forward to try and get some more applications, because we do need to get some more paid on call firefighters and continue to work on growing that side of our building.
And it's interesting to me too that I was just reading an article that was put out by the city probably last week that says that the Hastings Fire and EMS Department has, was it the largest service area in the state?
You know, I think the article, I believe, said the metro area.
Metro area.
The state, yes, yes. You know, there are some pretty large areas up in northern
Louis
Minnesota
County, yeah.
And areas that you know, acreage-wise are, I'm sure, different. But we have about 155
yeah.
square miles of service area, you know, which if you compare that to many of our surrounding cities, their service areas, a couple of them will fit into ours. So mm-hmm. we do have a pretty large response area. It's definitely the largest in the metro area.
And if someone were interested in applying to be a paid on-call firefighter, start that process, what kind of background and training are you looking for in a potential candidate?
For paid on-call firefighters, ultimately, what we train them to is an EMT level and a firefighter one and firefighter two.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, if they have any of those things, you know, that's going to definitely help us out a lot,
right.
And help them through the process. But really, what we need are people who are willing to do that training and engage in the department. So high school diploma and willingness to work hard and the ability to go to EMT class and fire class and be successful and learn some good basics so that they can continue to grow as they develop in that career, you know, and we're looking for pretty much all walks of lives, you know,
mm-hmm.
our paid on call staff, you know, they all have their normal everyday jobs, you know, some are lawyers, some are plumbers, some are teachers.
Sure.
I mean, every walk of life. So it's just someone who has the ability to, you know, take that and give us their time in their off hours. And really, probably one of the most important things for someone who maybe wants to be a paid on call firefighter is, you know, how do they reprioritize their lives? You know, we all have things we do after work, you know,
sure.
some people go fishing, some people go bowling. And, you know, this is kind of one of those things that, you know, it has to become something that's a priority for you in your off hours. So,
sure.
So we do ask a lot. You know, I think they do get some rewards back on that. But, you know, we're looking for people who are willing to really engage, and we do need people that are doing that. And I'd say, you know, we're hopeful to start taking applications in the not too distant future again. And in the meantime, if someone does have questions or wants more information about how to become a paid on call firefighter or how they can engage in our department, they're certainly welcome to call me at the fire station and I will meet with them, talk to them, and do whatever it takes to try and find some really good people to come and work with us.
Excellent. That would be good. We're always looking for good people to serve with the community and provide that service that is so necessary. In the last couple of minutes that we have here, I would like to go over just some general reminders from the fire department to the listeners of KDWA about what they can do to help prevent the need for a visit from the fire department? Talk a little bit about fire safety. Who wants to go?
I can start out. I'll just start out. This year's fire prevention theme is learn the sounds of fire safety, which we kind of were discussing a little bit earlier before we came here, is whether that was a fire safety message or a prevention message.
Sure.
I argue that it's a safety message because it's what you do if something's happening, because the sounds of fire safety are things like our smoke detectors. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how do we behave when we hear that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think people having talks with their family on what they're going to do when those go off in the middle escape of the night are yep. super important. And obviously making sure that, you know, they're changing their batteries twice a year. Prevention is probably more important, though. You know, things like extension cords, not leaving your cooking unattended. That continues to be a high cause of fires in homes. People will leave a burner on or forget mm-hmm. that they're doing something or get distracted. And then when they come back to the kitchen, their kitchen's on fire. You know, stuff like that, things that we can do to prevent that happen, leaving candles unattended.
Sure.
You know, those are the prevention things that keep us from coming to your house for a fire, not dumping your grill coals in the garbage can and setting them up next to the garage.
Yep.
So, I mean, just taking a couple minutes to really think about, you know, what causes fires, you know, anything that's hot, if we put it in the wrong place or leave it alone long enough, it's likely to cause a problem. So if they do some of those things, I think they can really prevent a number of problems.
For as far as the fire, the smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors, the message generally is when we do our daylight savings time switchover to check those batteries then. Also, we've got Thanksgiving coming up soon. I understand that deep fried turkey fires tend to be a thing about that time of year where someone doesn't really do it correctly and loses a garage or a home. I've heard many stories about that.
Yep. And I think that's one that's really, prevention is a key thing there. You know, if you take that turkey fryer and you light it up in your garage and you cook it in the garage, you know, and something goes wrong, the consequences are significantly higher.
Yep.
If they walk that turkey fryer out to 20 feet from the garage into the driveway and it's not next to the car, if they have a problem, it's likely not going to be as big of a problem.
It's a spectacular show for the neighbors.
and hopefully they were in a position where they were okay, you know, because obviously putting things in hot oil can cause problems. And I think hot oil is an important piece too. You know, adding water to it makes it worse.
Yep.
So, you know.
Know how to deal with the situation as it comes up. You know, a kitchen fire is generally handled very well by covering the flames in a pan or baking soda. Never use water on that. All that kind of stuff. We have to wrap it up at about this point, gentlemen. I appreciate the time. Once again, I have Fire Captain Chris Paulson, Chief John Townsend, and Fire Marshal Al Storley from the Hastings Fire and EMS Department. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in and spending some time with KDWA.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Mike.
You are tuned to Community In-Depth on KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7. We didn't start the fire. It was all-